Welcome to Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill, and after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to another episode of Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I want to get real with you for a second because I am now recording this intro for the fourth time. And I have been asking myself, why am I struggling so much to get the words out? And I think that it is just important to acknowledge that things don't always feel easy. Even when you are in your purpose, even when you are doing work that is fulfilling and that lights you up and feels like the work you're meant to do, which is how I feel about my work, you still have those days where you can't get the words out, where your energy is low, where you have trouble finding the words. And I just wanted to share that with you because I think we all need to be able to look behind the curtain. And I think there are so many teachers, guides, coaches, mentors out there who show us this beautiful facade of everything being wonderful and polished and everything is easy. And all right, it truly is a comedy of errors because I just got a call from my daughter's school saying that she needed a change of clothes because she thinks she got dog poop on her clothes. So this is life, right? This is life. And I just want to celebrate that and acknowledge that. And, you know, if you are looking to certain mentors who seem like they have everything figured out and everything is always perfect and everything is easy, just know that behind the curtain, they're child school is calling because they have poop on their jacket. Let's just be clear. Oh my goodness. Okay. So before we get into today's episode and conversation that I'm really so excited to share with you, I wanted to tell you about a mini audio course that I've created called 3 Pivotal Points to Your Next Chapter of Soul Fulfilling Success. And this is for professional women who dream of doing more fulfilling work and making a greater impact in whatever it is that lights you up. But that maybe you feel afraid that, you know, there's too much on the line to make the leap, whether it's starting your own business or reinventing your existing business or making a career transition, a massive career transition. So in these 3 episodes or these 3 parts of this mini course, I am walking you through how to claim the work in life you really want. So not just keeping those longings under the surface and hidden, but drawing them out, speaking power to them, writing them down, and then allowing that to be those seeds that you've planted now into that fertile soil. And then we're going to look at how to overcome obstacles to your vision because, you know, there are days like today where you have to record an intro 4 or 5 times and your daughter's school calls. And we need to be able to outline what those obstacles could be that are even stopping us from going there, and identify solutions so that we can dismantle those obstacles and not allow them to stop us from where we want to go. And then finally, we're going to talk about why it's not too late and why now is the perfect time to take the leap towards a more fulfilling and a success that is now defined by you. So if you scroll down to the show notes, you will see that there is a link. If you go to allyouare.ca/soul-fulfilling-success, you can go straight there, or you can scroll down to the show notes. And if you join, if you put in your email address, you'll instantly get the free downloads. And I am excited for you to tune in, and I'm excited for you to take this mini course with your notebook and pen next to you. And I want to hear what you took away from taking it. So without further ado, I want to introduce my guest. So Po Hong Yu is a self-mastery mentor, somatic healer, microdosing guide. And when we speak about microdosing, we're talking about mushrooms, and the host of the Tao of Po podcast. Her mission is to guide visionary women leaders to reclaim their power, speak their truth, and live unapologetically so they can embody their most confident, authentic, and fully expressed self. The foundation of Po Hong's work is based in Taoism, body wisdom, and the practice of surrender. Drawing on her background as an acupuncturist, she uses a holistic approach, integrating the spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, and energetic realms. All of her work is devoted to the remembrance of who we are and living from that place unapologetically. Po and I had the most wonderful conversation, and we also just bonded on a spiritual level. And I feel very connected to Po and the work that she's doing. And I have a feeling that you will see us do more things together over the coming months and years. Without further ado, please tune in to my conversation with Po Hong Yu. Welcome, Po, to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here with you.
I'm so happy to have you here. I'm so intrigued by the work you do, and I think your story is so beautiful, and so I'm really excited to share your journey and your expertise with my listeners. So I wanted to start with just sharing your journey about how you came to do the work that you do today.
Okay, I will do my best to summarize this, because as we all have a deep and multi-layered journey. Mm-hmm. So for me, the beginning is my own healing process and my own journey of, you know, healing trauma and reconnecting with myself and my body and my inner wisdom. And so, you know, I come from I'm first generation, so I had a lot of identity issues being American. And, you know, I don't know if you relate to that, but
absolutely.
Yeah. So that was a huge part for me in my life, is like always wanting to be somebody else. Mm-hmm. And having shame about who I was. And then, you know, my parents splitting up when I was around 11 and 12. And at the same time, my brother was kicked out of the house. So I went from being like the hub of the family to being alone, essentially, in a lot of ways. And so that really disrupted my life. Mm-hmm. And that was a major trauma for me. And then from there, because I felt so lost, I found myself in spaces where I was had multiple sexual traumas from 13 to 16. So that's a brief summary of my young life. And mm-hmm. I went into a life of, you know, self-destruction, addiction, depression, anxiety, and really self-hatred and shame. Mm-hmm. And so I know not everybody's story is as intense or extreme as mine, and some people have more intense mm-hmm. and extreme stories than I do. But it's important for me to share this because I always like to remind people that it's possible, because I honestly did not know if I could be happy. I thought I was going to just die unhappy. But through my process of healing and facing myself, I finally got to a place where I became happy. It was a long journey, a long, long journey. I'm 48 now. And so it has taken time and patience and a lot of compassion and practice. Mm-hmm. But I came to the work that I do because I've been through the process and continue to go through the process. And I have essentially come out on the other side. Like I feel like I've moved through many lifetimes in my life. And so I want to inspire and, you know, I guide women through those moments of really seeing themselves, like truly seeing themselves without the story, without the conditioning, without those ancestral, beliefs that have been passed down. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just, there's so much possible there. And I believe in the magic and miracles. So I hope that people can be inspired by my story.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it's so powerful. And the transformation that is possible for us, like your story is an example, a lived example of what is possible, even when you have experienced so much pain and hurt at a young age, you know, and the fact that it is possible for us to heal and to move through that and to feel that sense of comfort in ourselves and to feel that sense of peace, right? And fulfillment.
For so long, like my issue, because I help women to come out to be seen and heard, right? Yeah. And that's because of my own journey of feeling unsafe in my own body, unsafe to be seen and heard. And, you know, it wasn't until I did the work around my nervous system and my body and feeling like, okay, my voice, it is safe for my voice to be used and I don't have to hide. I had so many ways, tricky ways of hiding.
Yeah.
And so, and I find that so many women are hiding because they don't feel safe. So, you know, I'm here also to share like that it you can get to a place of feeling safe to be seen and heard and share your magic and your voice with the world.
You know what? This is resonating so much with me personally, Poe, because I think that I am still very bullish and every feeling comfortable saying what is in my heart or what feels like the truth for me in whatever way it comes out, you know, like I think that that is a journey I'm on. And I want to talk about this idea too, this a little bit more about being visible and being able and being comfortable being seen. I think that there's a lot of women who will immediately identify with that. Like, yes, I know I have a hard time there, but I also think that there's women who are like, well, that's just my personality, or I just don't like to be in the spotlight. Like I don't let, and I feel that there's even something beneath that, right? Like it is, again, another form of hiding. So can you talk a little bit like from the work that you've done with women and your own experience, why this idea of being able to express ourselves freely is so important?
Yes. I mean, this is such a passion of mine because, again, from my own experience, mm-hmm. I used to always feel like there was this thing inside of me that wanted to come out. And I think a lot of people can identify with this, but some reason I felt so scared to let it out. And mm-hmm. so it's so important because we all have our own unique frequency, our own unique essence. Right. And so we have a soul inside this beautiful human vessel of ours. Mm-hmm. And I believe that our purpose, it doesn't have to look like a career, mm-hmm. but to be our authentic self. And that includes being fully expressed, you know, feeling like you can just be you, whether it's being quirky or weird or serious or silly, you know, it's really about loving yourself and trusting that you can, it is safe for you to be felt in this way. Because visibility, yes, we talk about being seen and heard, but I've discovered in my own journey that it's even more than that. It's about being felt. Are you willing to allow people to feel you? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to let people to feel you if you don't feel yourself. Mm-hmm. And just like when you look at a piece of art, a gorgeous painting is actually going to elicit emotions. You're going to feel something, right? Mm-hmm. And it's similar to that. And you can always tell, like some people may be leaning into their visibility online with their business, but they're trying to make it look a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. There's an image they're trying to portray. And, you know, for me, it's not about curating an image. It's about just allowing, radiating your true essence out mm-hmm. so people can feel you.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell the difference? Like, are you now like this master at telling the difference between when someone is like in their true essence versus trying to project something?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I see it. I see it all the time. And, you know, and I have no judgment about it because yeah. I know, and I'm still in my own process. You know, yeah. I think this is, I'm not at like some arrival point. This has been my journey. Visibility and hiding, that has always been something so scary for me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I hid. There's so many, you know, tricky ways we can hide. Like I hid by gaining weight subconsciously after my sexual traumas, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a way that I try to hide in that way. Or I'd wear baggy clothes because I didn't want the quote unquote male gaze. Mm-hmm. Or I would people please as a way to take the attention off of me. And, or, you know, I'd be a perfectionist because I didn't want people to really see the messiness in me, right? Mm-hmm. So there's all these ways that I have hid. And I'm always leaning into seeing how am I hiding, if I'm hiding, and how can I lean into opening up even more. And not because I think it needs to, you know, be a certain way, but because it's my spiritual practice. Because visibility to me, like being an entrepreneur, is a spiritual practice.
100%.
Right? Oh, and yeah. Like, I'm a spiritual mentor underneath all the things that I do. It's yes. all based in spirituality. And yes. so it will work us. And, you know, it's beautiful because then it can help to expand us and heal the wounds that are, you know, blocking us from being seen and showing our work to the world.
Yeah. I love what you said of this idea of asking yourself, even now, even though you do this work, is how am I hiding? And I think that's such a good question for all of us to like pause and say, how am I hiding? Like in my life, in my day, where am I hiding? I think that's such an incredibly powerful question. I want to hear more, Po, about how you help women, but maybe before that, tell us about how you healed that part of yourself, how you came out of hiding essentially over time.
Yeah. So, you know, I created a whole framework around this and that's offered in my program. Mm-hmm. But so it's a multiple step process, because what I found is that there's a lot of people out there saying, just show up, right? Just show up. And that not everybody can just do that, because if your nervous system is frozen, because a lot of women that I work with are in functional freeze, meaning that they are frozen, that's their trauma response, but they're highly functional. So these could be like 7-figure, 8-figure business women who have created like amazing things, are super successful, but they're still in freeze, right? And so what that means is that we need to work on our nervous system, heal the trauma or the conditionings or whatever is living in the subconscious, right? Mm-hmm. Before we can go out and be seen. Because if you just say, oh, I'm going to just show up, it could feel like terror to some people. Yeah. Like, that was it for me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did you have that experience too?
Yeah, absolutely. I did. I think it's interesting for me because, you know, I also have a group program for women, and some days I'll come into the group and I feel so relaxed and present and in my body. And so, and then other days, I don't know if it's something that happened that morning or something like the topic or, but I'll find myself kind of like tensed and talking, and then I'll be almost coaching myself live, like, okay, breathe, drop your shoulders. It's okay. It's safe. Like, I'll be almost telling myself that as I'm talking sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is part of the process. And, you know, I just wanted to ask you that because I want to normalize this feeling of being afraid or even terror to show up in this way, because so many people, especially women, I would say, because I work with women, are experiencing this. And for somebody to just say, just show up, is not always realistic for everybody, right? And until you do that deeper healing work. So you ask the question, like, how did I do it? Like, well, one, you know, I had to really create space for myself. And in the creating of space, that means like letting go of my people pleaser, always like, you know, over giving and, you know, to everybody else, and you know, working on overcoming my perfectionism. And so a lot of this work first had to do with cultivating my mental fierceness and really being able to discern what was true for me and what was not. And then after that, it was about the healing practice, right? Really learning the wisdom of my body. And that's what I like, really tuning into the wisdom that your body is guiding you to. And then alchemizing emotions, because so many of us, and me included, right? I had so many emotions that were living in my body that were unprocessed and repressed. And then, I did healing work around my inner child, really healing her visibility wounds. And this is what all the time is like these inner child visibility wounds, moments when someone was young and they felt shut down. Maybe it was obvious, or maybe it was subtle. Maybe it was just cultural or ancestral, you know, like, so there was a moment or moments or just like their life as a child where they felt like it wasn't okay for them to be their true self, to speak out, to express themselves, to, you know, be big, you know, and radiate their true essence. And so from there, they learned, oh, this is not okay. Yeah. And they shut it down. So that's like some of the pieces. There's more to it. And another piece is like leaning into the visibility, right? So we do the inner healing work, but then we also do the outer work of the practices of being seen and heard. And that can start with just in your life. It doesn't have to be online.
Yeah.
It can be with your partner. Maybe you don't allow your partner to see you in your vulnerability, right? That's a great place to start practicing.
Oh, is it ever? I'm really working on that one. I'm not going to lie. Because I'm in a relatively new relationship. It's just been a year and a half or almost 2 years now. And I remember the first time I was, the first time I wanted to share something that I was feeling, I was less terrified of his reaction. I was actually more terrified of actually just doing it, of actually like how he reacted was less fear. It wasn't the thing that was scaring me. It was the act of just saying it to him that scared me more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally relate. And I see this all the time. And, you know, I don't know if this is why it was for you, but I think that when we talk, so many women in general have been taught to take care of everybody else. And so we have not been able taught to prioritize ourselves.
Yes.
And so, you know, meaning a lot of people don't even know what their needs are, or it's scary to ask for your need, even if you know what it is. So it's, I don't know if what you were saying to him was about your needs.
Yeah, it was. Because you know what happens? You're 100% right. What was happening was, you know, in some of my past relationships, my needs definitely came second, right? And I, you know, I've done a lot of healing and a lot of work on myself, and this relationship is different. And so it was almost like I knew that in order to honor myself and the relationship, I had to say what I felt. It was like, I knew it, right? It was this like, you have to say this, like, because you want to show up differently in this relationship than you have in the past. And he is also showing up differently. Like, you've called in like what you are now ready for. And now you owe it to both of you to say this thing, right?
Yes.
But before I said it, it was this whole conversation of, well, is that really a big deal? Do you really need to bring that up? Is that like, you know, what if he thinks that that's ridiculous or whatever? And then I had to tell myself, well, this is how you feel. Like, how he feels about it is irrelevant actually right now. It's what you feel.
Yes.
So yes, exactly.
Yeah. And I love this. Thank you for sharing that, because this is part of the practice. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs that I work with, they just want to go out and do their marketing and, you know, be seen. And of course, you know, practice doing that. But until we do the work in our everyday lives and heal those pieces around, you know, fear of being seen in our vulnerability and as our true self, because that's so real. That's your humanity, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are we willing to be seen in our humanity? Mm-hmm. And that work in your personal life overflows into your work life, because mm-hmm. they're all connected.
Yes. Yes. It's so true. So, Poe, I would love to hear more about how you help women with this. Like, what are some of the things that you teach or the skills that you help them learn? Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So, there's a few, but I'll just touch on a couple. One way is with microdosing. So that's just an accelerator to the process. That is not, you know, it's a part to help soften the nervous system and help us to rewire the brain and the nervous system. And so that's a major piece of it. But the tools, like the teachings, are around really connection. And I mentioned, you know, people pleasing and perfectionism and creating space. I find that so often the women that I work with are so hard on themselves. Like, they are putting so much pressure on themselves, and they are judging their process. They, you know, they're literally blocking their own expansion by having all this internalized pressure. And so releasing that perfectionistic way is key. That is like the first step in my process, because if you are coming in to the work expecting, you know, wanting to fix yourself, then you're literally blocking your healing, because I don't believe that people are broken. I don't believe that they need to be fixed. It's an uncovering process, you know, it's a shedding process, and that requires so much patience and compassion and self-kindness. And so we always start with that. And then, you know, and this may seem unrelated to like being seen and heard, but these are all fundamental pieces. The releasing of the people pleaser, because if you're afraid to be seen and heard, you and you're a people pleaser, it's connected. You're always wondering what people didn't think about you.
Yeah.
Right? You're like always anticipating external judgments or disapproval. And then, you know, just speaking for myself as a, you know, somebody who used to be a people pleaser, I would always alter my behaviors or what I would say based off of what I thought people would think about me.
Yeah.
You know, and I just wanted to be liked. Yeah. I wanted everybody to like me. Mm-hmm. And so that's releasing the people pleaser is huge. And then again, like the inner child work is so important, because until we go to the root and heal like that root wound that caused that silencing or shutting down, the pattern will repeat over and over again. Like if you notice, you know, that you're in a pattern, there's something deeper that needs attention and healing. I'm saying that for the audience that's listening right now, because I think a lot of times what will happen is people will see a pattern, or maybe they haven't. This audio will help you to, you know, notice a pattern that you're having. And when you notice it, there's a theme, there's a common thread, and that is you.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And so like, what is that common denominator. And that usually brings us to the root, and we can focus on the root. But the thing is, people are very afraid to go into the unknown space to do that healing work because they haven't done it, you know, at that level, perhaps, yeah. Right? There's different levels to it. And so really going to the root is so important, because you can try to trim all the branches off the root as much as you want, but the weed will still be there.
Yeah.
Right. So we need to excavate it from the root. Mm-hmm. And then I would say that, you know, just allowing yourself to connect with your body. So many women I talk to, this is the missing piece. This is like the gap, because they're so in their head and overthinking everything, analyzing everything and moving from their mind. They're not tapped into their inner wisdom and their intuition, mm-hmm. and letting that guide them. Mm-hmm. And that can come from body wisdom, like really listening to what it is that our body is guiding us to.
Yes. You know what? I think my last interview that I did for the podcast, Poe, was with a psychedelic integration coach. And we talked about this a lot, about the wisdom in our bodies and how, like, if you feel like a choking sensation, or you're like, if you're sometimes get like a frog in your throat and you feel like you're clearing your throat, it's oftentimes, if you pay attention and start to notice, you'll realize, oh, it's because I have something to say and I'm not saying it. Or, you know, a certain person walks into the room and you get really tense. Well, there's like wisdom there. So I love that this is coming up again. Is there a practice that you could give our listeners to consider, right? To start to like even, you know, take some of what we're talking about today and implement it and, you know, play with it, if you will, right away.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'll just continue with this conversation with the voice, because that's a big part of my work. I created a modality called anger alchemy, because I found that a lot of women had a lot of repressed and unprocessed anger, resentment, or rage in their body from their young selves. And what I find, the body wisdom, that they will have chest tightness, throat tightness, jaw tightness, or a feeling of a lump in their throat, mm-hmm. because their voice has been shut down. And so my suggestion for your listeners is to start making sound when you are feeling frustrated or angry or resentful. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a scream. It could be absolutely into your pillow, or just in your car is a great place. But it doesn't have to be that, because a lot of women I find have a hard time connecting to that level of anger or expressing it. And that's why I do that work.
Yes.
But you could just start, just like you can growl, or you can hum, or, you know, you can start speaking words. Like if you're upset at somebody, go into your own space and maybe act like you're talking to them, right? And fully let out what you really want to say.
Because for me, it's swearing. I don't swear. Like, it's just not my, you know, I have lots of friends who like, and they say it's a sign of intelligence. So, but I don't have that in my normal language. But when I'm angry and I swear, it just feels like, yes.
I love that.
It's like my way of really getting it out. Like, I was like talking, I remember a moment in time, Poe, when I was talking to my mom about something. And of course, with my mom, I never swear, you know, Indian mom. And I remember saying to her, and I'm not going to say it on the podcast because this is like a whatever, it will get bleeped out. But I said to her, "Mom, I don't give a fuck." And it felt so good. And it stands out in my mind as a time in my life where I was like, no, enough. I'm going to speak up for myself. And that's what that symbolizes for me.
Yes, I love this example because it's so true, because we have been conditioned to be the good girl, right? To look good. Women don't get angry, right? To just allow people to, you know, kind of just like take advantage of us. Like, we're just supposed to like sit there and receive whatever.
Yeah, smile and just
smile, look pretty, right? Even if that's not like an obvious conditioning, it's just in the ethers. Yeah. And so, I think a lot of times, like, we just need to say the the thing, you know, we just need to say the thing. And if you haven't, then lean into saying that thing. And it doesn't have to be to that person. It could literally just be in your own room in silence.
Yeah.
You know, you could curse somebody out in your room, you know, like it doesn't matter, but like, can you create that space? Can you give yourself permission to open up to more expression? And what you'll find is things will start opening for, you know, whoever's listening, the things will start opening up for you. And you'll find yourself, you know, giving yourself more permission to speak up in other places. And, you know, it's a process and a practice, but, you know, the boundary research I guide people through is so, such an impactful piece of this, because we've been taught to be, you know, say yes and overgive. And so, you know, really listening again to your needs and speaking up, like if you're a no, you're a no, or, you know, if something doesn't feel good, it doesn't feel good. Just like in sex, you know, there's many women who don't listen to what they need, their body needs, and may abandon themselves in those moments. I know I've done that in the past. And so, and that could be just in a loving relationship with your partner, right? Yeah. It doesn't,
you're not even talking about, right. Yeah.
Right. It's just like, oh, I'm just thinking about, you know, how it feels to the other person, or caring about what they think about me in this moment, right? Instead of being vulnerable and saying, making an adjustment, right? Like saying, oh, actually, this, can you stop that? And this would feel better. And this is in life, like not just sex, like it could be cooking dinner. It could be walking down the street and you don't want to hold a hand anymore, or you do want to hold their hand. You know, so many different practice.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit more about that? Like sort of what's on the other side of self-expression, because there's the path to greater self-expression and more visibility. But I want women to get a sense for, well, when you start to, and you kind of touched on it, that when you start to self-express, things open up. What have you seen in your work, or even in your own journey, that starts happening when you are, you do this healing work and you, you know, are able to establish that comfort with your own voice and using it? What is on the other side of that?
Oh my goodness. So much and everything, honestly. So for me, it looks like, first of all, feeling internal peace. That would be the first thing, because
I mean, huge right there.
Huge, because you're not constantly trying to, you know, maneuver based on everybody else. You're just being yourself, and it just feels so damn good to be yourself, right? Like me, I'm very loud. I'm also very quiet. I'm also very, you know, silly. My laugh is ridiculously loud, and, you know, people know me by my laugh. And, you know, there was points that I would feel so embarrassed or shame that I have such a loud voice, but this is me, you know? And so there's this peace that comes over you when you accept and love who you are and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. Like, yeah, it doesn't mean that I never care what people think, but it washes over me so much quicker.
Yeah.
And I don't let it feed into any storylines, right? Yeah. I don't take it on. So there's that sense of freedom and peace, but also like in my business, like I'm able to, like when I do my, my challenges and workshops and masterminds and things like that, I mentioned earlier, it's about people feeling me. I'm not going through teaching robotically. I'm literally letting people feel my true essence. And so, and that creates connection and intimacy. So that's what's on the other side too, is more intimacy with yourself, but also more intimacy with your friends, with your lover, with your partner, with your kids, with your clients. So there's that connection that is everything. And then also creative energy, allowing this, because it's like we all have this energy in us, right? What I was saying earlier, like I could feel this thing inside of me that wanted to come out, but I just felt so stuck and I didn't know how to let it out. And that's the creative force that's inside of us. That the universal creative energy. And I really believe that every single human being wants to feel free to let that move through them, right? Yes. Let their unique frequency to come through whatever way they express, through their body, through their voice, through whatever their medicine is. Because mm-hmm. I really believe everybody has medicine to offer, no matter if, whether you're a healer like me or not. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there's so much more, but that's a little taste.
Oh, it's so good. I'm like leaning in, like, I want more of that. And you know, I do, you know, it's not the same work as you, but similar work in helping women find their voice. But I think the way that you're talking about it is so beautiful. And it just feels like a giant exhale, you know, mm-hmm. like this, like, that's sort of what I feel when you're talking about it, is like just this freedom to be who you are and to let people see you and not be codependent with literally every other human on the planet, right? like even the ones that are like watching you on Instagram, like you're literally codependent with them and you show up with, you know, and so to be free from that. And I think, like, for me, what you said about that creative force, that really so strongly resonated, because I think in my own journey, I've always felt this sense that I have this creative force. Like from a young age, I felt like I'm meant to do something. I'm meant to help people. I didn't know what or how or why. And then it was like, you know, trying to fit into all the boxes and trying to, as you say, like, you know, be seen in a certain way. And, you know, that led me to doing a lot of really cool things. And I don't regret that. But in all of it, I was like trying to find what felt most like me, right? Like felt like me expressing, not trying to express in this category or that category or whatever, but to truly just, and I felt like that was almost like my ultimate goal, you know, mm-hmm. was that. And what it looked like, who knows? But I wanted that feeling of just being able to express that creative force. And I feel like, again, I'm still on that journey, but now I have a taste, you know, like I know what it feels like. And I'm like, I want more, I want more, I want more.
Yes, yes. I love that. That is so huge. And I think so many people are going to resonate with what you're saying. And, you know, I feel like, I'm guessing most people, if not all people, have that feeling, but I think some people might not be conscious or aware of it, because maybe they're more desensitized or disconnected from themselves. Mm-hmm. But once you start to connect with yourself and bring awareness and presence to you most likely will sense this energy that you're talking about. That's what I always called this thing, quote unquote. I never had a word for it because I didn't know what it was. Yeah. I could feel it inside of me. And, you know, it was this creative energy. And it literally runs through every single one of our veins and meridians, right? Every single human being. And so what would be possible if we could all, you know, do the work to tap into it? And from what I've seen, you know, you got to go down before you go up. And so that's where my work is. Like, again, it's not about forcing to come out, but my work is based on Taoism. And so, you know, my dad is my spiritual teacher. He's turning 93 in July. And so he has taught me everything I know about yin and yang mm-hmm. energy and mm-hmm. how yin leads. And so just like with nature, you know, in order for a flower or a tree to grow, we need to plant the seed in the soil, mm-hmm. right? And that soil is the yin energy. It's dark there. It's damp. Mm-hmm. It's unknown, right? There's all this unknown in there. And I think what happens so often with people and women specifically is that they're afraid to be in that unknown, feminine, surrendered space.
Yeah.
But that's what's required in order for that beautiful flower to grow.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, it's so good. So, Poe, this podcast is called Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening Podcast. You mentioned your age early in the conversation, so I don't need to ask you. You're 48. I'm also 48. I have noticed that women as they approach their 40s and then in their 40s and sometimes later as well, they often come to this point where they are feeling a sense of disruption in their lives, right? And sometimes that disruption is external, like in their relationship, or they're not getting promoted at work, or they get let go, or they're just feeling like, I don't want to do this anymore. Or it's just internal. It's just like, nothing has changed. Everything is good. Check all the boxes. I have everything I'm supposed to want. And I feel empty. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure given the work that you do, you have sort of observed this too. And I'm curious what your take is on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's fuel in the midlife. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's a term called midlife crisis, mm-hmm. But I don't see it that way because my spiritual teachings are all about using challenges or crunchy times or activations or triggers or, you know, all those things as gifts, yeah. And using them as opportunities. And so to me, it's really about using it as fuel because I'm an alchemist and alchemy is really about transforming one energy into another. For example, transforming anger into power. And so we can use this energy to transform like this feeling of like maybe lack of clarity or what do I do next? Or, you know, I feel this emptiness or whatever it is as fuel to really add to the desire, mm-hmm. right? Because I feel like this is the crux of it. It's like if we can connect with the desire, because there's a whole new level of expansion that happens during midlife. I mean, it's obviously always happening, but there's something major that happens during this time. Can you tap into the desire? And that was my case. You know, for me, I've always been successful, independent, all these things. Mm-hmm. And my desire was really more around even more connection with community and life partnership. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and instead of me saying, you know, which I don't typically say anymore, I used to feel very lonely when I was younger, mm-hmm. but like instead of being like, oh, I have nobody, no, that's not the problem. Mm-hmm. It's actually, I can use that as fuel of like, oh, I'm ready mm-hmm. to receive yeah. this next level of connection, right? How can I tap into that feeling of desire instead of making it wrong, making something a problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is such a good thought for women who are listening right now and who are feeling that sense is like, how can you turn what you're feeling right now into fuel? Into that next chapter, right? Of what's next for you. There's like,
yes.
Yeah, that like lights a bit of a fire under you rather than feeling frustrated or stuck in it. It's like that fuel, that spark.
Yeah. Because every single time that I have either hit a rock bottom or had a major challenge in my life, mm-hmm. it was always a moment to shift into the path, the resonant path,
yeah.
right? It actually lit me up. It was like a fire, like you mentioned, just like started lighting me up and had me even more committed to that desire. Mm-hmm. And so there's so much power in using these challenging moments or a challenging moment to redirect our attention into our vision.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Poe, I want to share with everyone how they can connect with you and learn more about the incredible work that you do. I'm so happy to have been connected. I think what you're doing is so beautiful and the way that you show up and even just in this conversation, I can feel you, you know, and I love that. So tell us how people can learn about you, tune into your podcast, support your work with you, all of it.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you could feel me. This has been so lovely and I enjoyed our time together. I am on Instagram and Facebook the most, mm-hmm. and I'm sure there'll be links that people can connect with me. I also have a podcast called Tao of Poe, mm-hmm. And I share all the things that we're talking about and more. I'm a somatic healer, so I always talk about the body and energy, but also our spiritual calling and our purpose work and yeah, how we can step out into really letting our essence to be felt and seen. And I also have a one-year program. It's a membership program. Mm-hmm. And it's all about all the work that we literally talked about today. Mm-hmm. It's stepping into your authenticity, embodying your confidence, using your voice, you know, letting go of the people pleaser. Literally everything we talked about, that's in my program, Coming Home to You. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm excited about it. There's so much happening in there and we microdose as well. Mm-hmm. So that's such a powerful, powerful tool to work with the medicine of the mushrooms.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I want everyone to know that the links to connect with Poe or to work with her, to learn more, are all in the show notes. And Poe, I wanted to end with one final question that I ask all of my guests, which is, what do you think it means to be all you are?
Such a great question. To be a sovereign being is such a key piece for me in being all I am, because I get to move through life embodied and in my truth. And that means being in my full expression. You know, mm-hmm. It really does come back to that, the topic that we've been talking about. For me being all I am is like being fully expressed. It's, you know, being vulnerable and saying the things that are uncomfortable, but also, you know, letting my joy be seen, right? Letting all the pieces to shine and radiate and not judge them. And that just allows for so much connection. And for me, intimacy and connection is everything. And so whatever I can do in my life to create and cultivate more of that, that is absolutely everything to me. So yeah, that's what I would say to that question.
Thank you, Poe. That's a beautiful answer. And thank you for being with us here today. I have loved our conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram, or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear, we need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.